All right, Leviticus chapter 12. Somebody said a while ago, what are you going to preach on? And I said, well, childbirth. How about that one? I am. So that's where we're at. I asked them, do you ever look ahead in Leviticus? These things are difficult. Yeah. There's some more stuff in here that's going to be really difficult to talk about. But it's the Word of God. It's the law of God. It's very important. It's not stuff that we can just ignore. We need to understand this stuff. We need to know it and understand it because God gave it to us. And so it's mighty important. Let's just read it. Chapter 12 is just 8 verses. And I'm going to try to hurry tonight. I've tried to limit myself. So let's get going here. Leviticus chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman have conceived seed and born a man child, then she shall be unclean 7 days. According to the days of the separation for her infirmity shall she be unclean. And in the 8th day the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised, and she shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary, until the days of her purifying be fulfilled. But if she bear a maid child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, as in her separation. And she shall continue in the blood of her purifying 66 days, twice as long for a girl baby as for a boy baby. And when the days of her purifying are fulfilled, for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation unto the priest, who shall offer it before the Lord and make an atonement for her, and she shall be cleansed from the issue of blood of her blood. This is the law for her that hath born a male or a female. And if she be not able to bring a lamb, then she shall bring 2 turtles or 2 young pigeons, the one for the burnt offering and the other for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for her, and she shall be clean. All right. Now then, does anybody else want to preach on this besides me? All right. This chapter continues in the same thread, dealing with the same subject, uncleanness. Clean and unclean. That's what he's dealing with. You remember we talked about in the last chapter about the animals, the clean and the unclean animals that we use for food. You know, the previous chapter called out the distinctions between the clean and the unclean animals, forbidding us to eat of the unclean and sanctifying the eating of the clean. Not us, Israel back then. The character and the habits and the lifestyle of the unclean creatures are generally consistent with the character and the habits and the lifestyle of unclean people. You know, there's a whole lot more we could talk about those animals and the food and all of that. You know, the animals, you just start thinking about unclean animals and how each one is similar, very similar, to the way unclean people live and act, the character, the habits, the food they eat. You know, think of vultures. They just eat on dead stuff, dead, rotten meat. You know anybody that's their diet? They just, for their soul, I'm talking about, that's all they eat is garbage. They won't listen to nothing wholesome and healthy and that'll lighten their soul up. Nope, it's all just rotten filth of this world, and on, you know, we could go on to that a long time, but the whole thing was to make a difference between clean and unclean, to draw a line and establish a law that we could live by. And if we live by it, then we would be continually reminded that there is good and there's evil. There's right and there's wrong. There's clean and there's unclean. You see, this is what God's dealing with in these chapters when he's dealing with clean and unclean. Marking the difference about how we ought to live, the things we ought to partake of, The things that sustain our life ought to be clean and not unclean. If they're unclean, we'll be unclean. Uncleanness and partaking of it makes us unclean. You know, in this matter of sin, and I don't want to get all crossed up here and get ahead of myself, but that's how it works. You know, we've preached that for years, and most everybody does not believe it that way. They have it completely backwards. They think you sin because you're depraved. No, you're depraved because you sin. And I'm going to say some more things about that in this, but you know, there's a right way and a wrong way to live. And that's what he's laid out here in this chapter about the clean and unclean beasts. And now into this we go. And we'd be encouraged to follow the good and the clean way instead of the unclean and the evil way if we lived by these laws. That's what he was doing with Israel. Now this chapter is dealing with childbirth, and it's still dealing with the same subject, clean and unclean. It says about the woman, she will be unclean 7 days. She'll be unclean. If it's a girl baby, she's unclean 14 days. For the boy baby, she's got to continue 33 more days, 40 days for purification. For the girl baby, it's 80 days for her to be purified. Now, the absolute faith that men almost universally have in the doctrine of original sin has blinded them to the truths God's trying to teach us here, I believe. You know, I looked and searched, and I can't find one single commentator or anybody else that has anything to say about this without falling back on the doctrine of original sin. So then when they do that, they don't have anything to say about this chapter, and they have no explanation to give for any of these 8 verses that we're talking about here. They take it that way. Well, this is all about the fact that we're all born in sin. And no, it's not. It really has nothing to do with that. Without exception, all these commentators that I saw and looked at and read, they simply say that this is dealing with the fact that we are all born in sin, and therefore all this uncleanness and separation and offerings. And that's in spite of the fact that the child is never spoken of as being unclean, only the mother. Did you notice that? The child is not called unclean. The child has to spend no time being unclean. The child has to spend no time being purified. The mother does. What in the world? How can you miss that? The child doesn't have to be separated, or he doesn't have a limit of days that he has to, or weeks that he has to be unclean. And neither is he or his parents responsible to make any offering for his sin, because he don't have any. And he's not unclean. Amen. Right there, see? Where anybody, there'll be people listening and say, well, I never heard such heresy. Well, prove it. We're just reading the scripture here. Bible doesn't say this baby's unclean. Never says that about a baby. Baby's not born into this world that way. Baby's born into this world with his mother's blood all over him. Yeah, and a bunch of other junk that's unclean. But he is not unclean. And he has to make no offering for his sin. She does. Commanded by God. The uncleanness of the mother is not primarily about the uncleanness that is a result of the birth. Now, you know, it's a mess. We all know that. A birth is not a pretty thing. You know, I mean, it's a wonderful thing. And it's a, you know, it's a miracle. It sure is. But boy, it ain't pretty. It ain't pretty. It's a mess, and it's a bloody mess. But that's not what it's talking about here. The uncleanness, that's not what it's referring to. It's more to do with her soul and the fact that she has been a sinner and has now been given the responsibility of a new life to care for and make a man or a woman out of in a sinful world. That's what we're talking about here. and to which she has fallen prey herself. She's not a baby. She's an adult. She's a woman now having a baby. She has conceived seed. She's having a baby here. And now she's got to raise this child. Mother. Big responsibility. The chapters that follow this deal with issues. You know what I'm talking about? Issues of blood, other issues, stuff that comes out of your body. Now, I mean, I know it sounds terrible, but I mean, I don't know. It's what I said when we started here. How in the world, how you talk about this stuff? Well, you got to be very careful. That's all I know to do. Any issue from the body is pollution to someone else. Now, if somebody bleeds all over you, you can't wait to get somewhere and wash it off, can you? Somebody spits on you, you feel unclean, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, boy. Anything else they do to get any of them on you, it's unclean. Well, that's just exactly what the Bible teaches here. Issues of blood. Issues of other things. And so, if it touches them, they're unclean. And something must be done about it for them to be clean again. You can't just go on. You got to get it off of you. And then there's a waiting period. You know, blood's a more serious issue than other things, than other issues, and requires more time to be cleansed from. And we ain't got there yet, but the Bible talks about all of that. You know, it's one thing. You know, this is one thing, blood's another thing. But blood's the serious thing. It takes more waiting, more time for purification because of the pollution you've got from somebody else's blood. All right? Listen to what I'm saying to you and remember these things. But no matter what the issue might be, it defiles and pollutes someone else. See, that's the problem. We live in a world with other people. Now remember, this is not about these carnal things. You know, what we're talking about here, the bottom line issue is sin. You don't believe your sin affects somebody else? You don't believe your life, the blood, is the life of every living creature? The blood is the life. That's what it represents. That's what we're talking about here. You don't believe your life affects other lives? It most certainly does. It either encourages them to cleanliness or it encourages them to uncleanliness. And so the only life that is affected or touched this child at the time of his birth is his mother's. Think about it. Ain't nothing else touched him. He ain't got nobody else's blood on him. He ain't got nothing from nobody else on him except his mother. She's the only one that's made a mark upon him whatsoever. He's got her blood on him. When a baby's born, he's all bloody. But it ain't his blood. It's her blood. Yeah. Her life. Her life. I mean, he's born with her life affecting him.
That's right.
Even before he's born, her life affects him. What about all these babies born addicts and born with all kinds of problems because of their mother taking drugs or smoking cigarettes or drinking liquor or just living so low? What about that? Her life affects his life more than anybody else. No wonder there's a big whole chapter here in the law that's dedicated to the mother. And the issue is her uncleanliness and her sin. And the fact of her burnt offering, her dedication to God, since she's got a child to raise in this world. Now, the only life that's touched him so far is her. Her blood's gotten all over him and other issues from her body. The blood is the life of every living creature. And the things spoken of here are ceremonial laws that represent spiritual truths. Now, we're not so hard-headed and dumb that we can't understand that, are we? I mean, this is ceremonial laws. And they represent spiritual truths. That the reason for this is not just some arbitrary, random thing that God just came up with to make women do something. This is important stuff, important truths that God set in the law for the children of Israel to follow as a nation. This is the way they were to do it when a child was born. Says God, this is what His wisdom declared and ordained and commanded. The things spoken of, and they're meant to help us understand how to walk in God's ways and how to do things right. Children are born now, and just go down to any hospital you want to go to anywhere in this country, in the world, really. Talk to the people who work in the maternity ward about the babies and how they and who they go home with. And ain't a day hardly passes that I don't see in the news somewhere where somebody's beat a little baby to death or left it in a car to die or starved it to death or done something, throwed it in a dumpster somewhere. So that's what this deal is talking about here. There's a problem here. 7 days of uncleanness the mother has to go through after she has a male child. Well, that's time for her to consider her uncleanness of heart and mind and soul and petition God for help in seeing her own faults and her own sins and for wisdom to raise a child in a sinful world. You know, you girls are fixing to have babies. Now, Esther, you got a job. And now even Dakota gets it. Maternity leave. How long is it? How long's that? That's 40 days. They still know this stuff. When, you know, we had a little boy, one of our little boys, when he was born, the doctor was a Christian. They circumcised him on the 8th day, not right after he was born. And the doctor explained why. And we still know this stuff. You know, there's things I'd like to say, but I just, you know, I hesitate about saying it. But a woman has an issue of blood when a child is born, but it don't last 40 days. If it does, there's something bad, bad wrong. It stops within the 7 days. But she's unclean. All right, now God said, you're unclean for 7 days. Well, that just set a time limit. You know, she can't say on the second day, well, I feel fine. I ain't bleeding anymore. I mean, everything's okay. She can't do that. 7 days. 7 days, you're unclean. You got 7 days to be unclean. You're going to be unclean for 7 days. That means you don't go to the house of God. You can't be around anybody else. You can't eat the stuff that other people are eating. You're separated because you're unclean. Separated what? To yourself. So you can think about your uncleanness. And so you can think about what's wrong with you and what's lacking in you and what needs to be, what you need to be shed of since you've got this new responsibility here. What is a woman going to think about when she's got a new baby? Yeah. They don't take the baby away from her because she's unclean. Now that baby is nourished from the issue from her body. She nurses the baby. He's sustained by the issue from her. Well, she needs to be clean then, don't she? That's just the beginning. What else is she going to feed him through the years? What else is that baby going to get from his mother to make his life into whatever he's going to be? Well, it needs to be clean. Whatever he gets from her sure does need to be clean. She needs to be cleansed. And so she got 7 days. If it's a girl, she got 14 days. We'll talk about that in a minute. But, you know, 7 days. And then she got another 33 days that she's not unclean, but she is being purified. She's still separated. She still can't go to the temple. She can't go out there and do other things. 40 days, 6 weeks maternity leave. Not to bond with her baby. Blah. Nonsense. That is worldly nonsense. Amen. Bond with your baby? I don't remember ever having to do that. I've really never known a woman that had to do that either. Bond with their baby. That baby knows your voice before it's ever born. It responds to your voice. It responds to other people's voices around you. It ain't like it's just, oh, who's this stranger? Little babies. You remember when Jonathan, I believe, was born and he was in that hospital down in Nashville? You remember all the stories we heard about that? Little babies put in there and just abandoned by their mother. And the nurses told Sarah and them, said, these babies, sometimes they die. And there's nothing wrong with them. I mean, there's nothing wrong that they should die. Their sickness, their problem, their disability isn't enough to kill them. But they just die. Because their mother won't come and see them. You know, they showed her and proved to her that when the mother came in and the baby heard the mother's voice, his blood pressure went down and all of his vitals leveled out and it was obvious. Well, they just didn't get a bond. I guess that was the problem. No. Now this time is set aside so mother can examine herself. But mothers are usually so selfish now that they don't even think about nothing like that. Even having children has now become a selfish, self-fulfilling, just, you know, consume it upon yourself, lust and desire. That's all it is. Instead of looking at that child and realizing what God's given you and the responsibility that's on you now. And how much you need God. And how much you need to be right with God. And how much your heart needs to be right. And your mind needs to be right. If you had 7 days to sit alone with your new baby and think about it, I believe it would help. I believe it would be a good thing. And in another month to just think on it some more. I believe that's a good thing. Instead of wasting it on everything else. We don't do that anymore, do we? Women don't do that. It's a sobering thing when you have a child and everybody's in awe of it, but it don't last long. And then they're just a brat. People and their children are just like people and their dogs and their pets. They love them when they're little and cute, and as soon as they become a problem, then they hate them and don't want anything to do with them. Try to find somewhere to dump them. When a person was unclean, they were separated from everybody else. That gave her solitude that she needed to nurse her child and think about her uncleanness. I'm just saying that this, God's way, put the focus on the mother instead of on the baby. That baby don't know nothing. He's a blank sheet of paper. Ain't been written on yet. But she's going to write on it first. And she's going to write more on it than anybody else in that life will. And so mama needs to be right. Her inability to face the task before her. She's got time to do that here. Without God's help and to thoroughly purify her heart before God. After the 7 days of her uncleanness, the male child was circumcised on the eighth day. She's unclean 7 days. The eighth day, her baby's circumcised. It's not just coincidence, and it's not just random. The cutting off of the flesh at the source of the seed. It was a token of the covenant God made with Abraham concerning his seed. Do y'all get that? Can you think a little bit without me just getting real, you know, ain't no need. You can think, you know, you understand. That was the meaning of it, the purpose behind it. That was the statement it made. It wasn't just a random, gruesome, barbaric thing that God come up with to identify his people. Circumcision of the heart, the New Testament talks about. It's a cutting off of the flesh. You don't live after the flesh. Romans chapter 8. To live after the flesh, you die. It's opposition to God. It's enmity with God. Living after the flesh. No, this is the symbol that God put with Abraham as a token of their covenant. From the seed. No flesh. Godliness. Well, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. It signifies the desire of God that the seed of Abraham would live for God and be a holy nation in this wicked world. That's what it signifies. Think about that. Now then, this new mother has 33 more days to be with her circumcised little boy, to nurse him and to pray for him before she's allowed to go back to the house of God to make her offerings. And she has this time to consider the fact that just as her life is the only one that has touched him so far, her life will have more effect on him than any other life for the next several years. And to a lesser degree, the rest of his life, she'll have more influence on him than any other person. And she's going to make him into what he's going to be. Man, if I was a woman and I had a baby and I had this response, man, I'd be serious about it. I believe I would. I believe I'd think. And I believe I'd look in the mirror and say, man, I don't know if I'm not up to this. And I need God's help. And I need to be right. Now the offering she makes after the 33 days are over are for herself, not for the child. The Bible is crystal clear about that. Now she makes a sin offering and a burnt offering. All right, now back to the beginning of Leviticus, all the offerings, that's what we learn first in the law. Sin offering. Y'all remember? It's about her sin. It's not about her trespasses and the things she's done that's wrong. I mean, whatever she's done up until this point, that's not what it's about. It's about her sin. It's about what she is, what is really wrong with her, what her disposition, her attitude, her opinions, her beliefs about everything. That's what it's about. Sin offering. And the burnt offering. Burnt offering is total surrender. It's total dedication to God. Burn it all up. Now those are the two offerings that she makes after the child is 40 days old. And she's done with her purification. And she's done with her uncleanness. She makes these offerings in the house of God. A sin offering and a burnt offering. One for the atonement of her sin. And the other is a vow of consecration to live for God before this child that she's just been given. It's a vow. These offerings are vows, remember? Right. So she goes to God after all of this time of being able to think and consider and pray and search her own heart and have God search her out. And she goes and makes her sin offering and makes her vows. I'm going to live for God and I'm going to do what God wants for this child's sake. Now, the time of uncleanness and purifying are double for the mother if she has a female child. Well, here's another thing about the commentators. Not a single one that I can find has any explanation for this. They simply say they have no idea why this is this way, except that, well, that's the way God wanted it. That's what they said. Have no idea. Well, let me just say a few things here. Maybe it's because the character and the disposition of the mother is so much more important when she's raising a girl. she will have this man-child for a few years. And then under normal circumstances, unless she turns him into a little pansy, mama's boy, he's going to separate from mama more, and he's going to be with his father and men. He'll join the company of his father and other men, but the girl child will always be with her mother until she marries. Well, now just think. We're talking about the influence of the mother on the child and all the uncleanness and the purification and the time there and the offerings. And this is all about mother's heart being prepared and her mind and her soul to be a godly mother to this child. Well, this being the case, she's inevitably going to be like her mother, the little girl child. You know, I've always told all my kids, some of them have come back and said, you were right. But back at the time, they said, no, you don't know what you're talking about. But as the mother is, so is her daughter. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 44 and 45. Listen to this. Behold, everyone that useth proverbs shall use this proverb against thee, saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter. Thou art thy mother's daughter, that loatheth her husband and her children. And thou art the sister of thy sisters, which loathed their husbands and their children. Your mother was a Hittite and your father was an Amorite. Now that's God really hammering Israel. It's figurative, but it speaks truth. As the mother is, so is her daughter. A mother that loathes her husband is going to have a daughter that loathes her husband. If her sisters loathe their husband, so is she. I mean, there's a great influence among women. Men are influenced by other men. That is true. But I believe, from observing life for 62 years, I believe that women are more influenced by one another. That's why all the fads, the fashions, I mean, the fashion industry survives on that fact right there. In God's wisdom, this new mother needs twice as long to think about her own character, her standing with God, her attitude toward her husband, and her attitude toward other men, and very much about what kind of example she's going to be with this little female who will one day be a woman like herself. Now, God thinks she needs twice as long to think about it. Now, I don't care what you think, and it don't matter what I think or anybody else thinks. God said she needs twice as long. She better think about that one a long time when she's got a little girl that's going to grow up under her skirt tail, following her around, listening to her attitude and what she says and how she treats her daddy. Also, it could be that little girls are in twice as much danger of being deceived and defiled by the devil and the world and other people, and will therefore need much more attention and a strong, consistent example of what a virtuous woman really is. Could be that too. Since the woman was deceived. Since the woman is the weaker vessel. And you got a little girl, she's going to be weaker. She's going to be way more vulnerable. Like it or not, believe it or not, I don't care what this feminist, mad, ungodly world full of women thinks. That's the way it is. And that's why God, that's one of the reasons I believe God said you better think about this twice as long. So, all that is spoken in this chapter is not really about how sin is transmitted to children through procreation and childbirth. They seem to be fascinated and, you know, obsessed with that idea. Augustine thought that sin passed from one generation to the next because there's lust involved in procreation. Nonsense. What baloney. All this is meant, you know, it's about a mother taken seriously the charge she's been given when she bears a child. Now, that's what I get out of it. I read it and I was stumped. And I thought about it and prayed about it. And I kept reading and reading and studying and thinking. And I couldn't get no help from nobody because nobody had nothing to say about it. And I just believe that's what the subject is about. I think it's about her. I think it's about a mother. And how that she needs, this is what it's about. It's about her focusing on her own heart. And about getting her heart right with God. And yielding her mind and her will to God. So that she can raise this child in a sinful world for God. Now that's what I think it's about. Yes, sir. It's about a mother taking seriously the charge that she's been given when she bears a child. And all this is meant to cause her to look inward at her own heart and life and search out those things which are selfish and childish. A lot of young mothers are childish. They're not grown up enough. They're not mature enough to face this big responsibility. And sinful. She needs to think about what's wrong with her. She has the same length of time to search out her own heart as Moses did on the mountain. Think about it. She has the same amount of time to do this as Jesus had when he was tempted in the wilderness. And how many times through the Bible do we read 40 days? 40 days. 40 days. Big things. Big important things. God gives you 40 days. To think. To pray, to search your heart. Well, we don't take that time, oh, do we? We do everything in a hurry these days. God's way is good and right. And it would do us much good to consider all this and apply it to the way we deal with a new baby now. I think that's right. I know this is ceremonial law, and I know that we don't do this. God doesn't command us to observe these things this way anymore. But I believe it's just plain old wisdom, and I think that you ought to get the wisdom that's there and apply it. I mean, they still give you 40 days. If you got a job, you still got 40 days. When do you go back for your checkup after you have a baby? 6 weeks. Hey. Where'd they get that figure? God's fixed everything up so that we can, you know, we got no excuse for not taking the time, for not doing the self-searching and examining and cleansing. I mean, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. And I mean, he gives you a child, a miracle, a child. I mean, they're just a miracle of God. And it's just such a sobering thing. You know, say first child, well, yeah, but every child's the same. For me, it was just more, you know, I don't know the word. It was more humbling and more awesome every time. Because I kept getting more mature about it. I kept understanding more. And so the older I got and still having kids, man, it really meant something. I took it way more seriously. It wasn't just the first one. That was something. Yes, sir. But when you're young and immature, it's just like, you know, some new thing. You really don't, it just don't sink in. That's why God made such a deal of this. He didn't just leave it so women just went somewhere and had their baby and everybody ignored them and nobody paid no attention. There wasn't no special instructions or nothing. Just stay away till you get, you know, get over this. God dedicated a chapter in the law here to instruct mothers when you have a baby. And it's not insulting to them. It's not calling them unclean because of the bloody mess that a birth is. That ain't what he's talking about at all. Amen. Stand with me and let's pray. Now, Lord, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for all the wisdom that's there. It makes me just wonder how much we miss all the time because we just race right over the top of it. And we just chant with everybody else whatever they say. And we don't stop to think and pray and look and study and understand what you're saying to us. Lord, I pray you'd help us to remember these things. And by understanding this gives us all, even men, it gives us a charge to draw closer to you, to examine ourselves, and to make sure that we're what we ought to be, because we do affect other people's lives. Help us, Lord, to make a difference in a positive way and not leave a path of destruction behind us or wrecked lives and stuff because of our carelessness and thoughtlessness and apathy about everything that's right and good and clean. Lord, bless the word of God to our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.